Hey everybody, welcome to our podcast, The Tapestry of Your Life. It's Melissa, and I'm here today with a whole bunch of ladies. Everyone can say hi.
Hi!
And so we're having book club today, and we're going to be discussing Dr. Fiona's book, The Confident You, and we're going to talk about chapter 10, what we've learned from this, about confidence leaving a legacy. And I'm very excited about this chapter, because I highlighted almost every other paragraph. So I'll start out with what I've learned, and you all can jump in. One of the big things that I highlighted was that a lack of confidence does not just affect... Oh, this is at the beginning, by the way, of the chapter. Our lack of confidence does not just affect what we do in here and now. It affects who we're influencing in the future, right? So our confidence, whether we have or not, we are affecting future generations. So the young people and the children of today, they need to be built up to stand up for who they were created to be for tomorrow. So like what we have, like we need to be confident so that way we can teach and train the next generation and they can continue on with what we're doing. So this like just changed my mindset and my perspective to, like, even though I'm a teacher and I'm teaching teenagers and different things, it hit me more when I read this that like, yeah, my confidence is affecting all of those kids and like they'll continue to teach their kids, like the legacy that our confidence or lack of confidence is going to leave. Like, I don't want to have a legacy or anything like that that was not confident. Like, I don't want to be remembered for that.
You go, girl.
Thank you. And maybe you think of, like, Dr. Fiona has been pointing out, you know, a lot of her conference is going to be about legacy and generations and how you build your house, right? Like, Milton Hershey, like, I don't know, did they have kids?
No.
Of their own? They didn't have kids of their own.
That's why they started the school.
Yeah, but they started the school for kids, and now there's a whole town built around that and a whole park and Hershey Hotel. Like, there's a whole, like, business and industry in Hershey chocolate that goes all the way around the world. I have been in cities all across the U.S., and I was surprised, like, the one time I was in Las Vegas, and there's, like, Hershey right in the middle of the street, and I was like, hey, I know that place. Like, it's cool to see, like, that chocolate and that brand is all over the world, and it started with just that one person. Like, that's the kind of legacy, you know? And he was, like, confident, like, he just started. Started with the school. So, yeah.
Yeah, building on to that, at the bottom of page 80, it says, do you want your generational line to continue where you've left off from or just start over again every time? So would you like them to deal with the same bad habits or spiritual issues that you never got to overcome? So instead, we want to let faith become part of our legacy. So if you think about, like, you want to be victorious and then pass that on to your children, you want them to start, you know, at a victorious place and not have to fight those battles. So that's an interesting perspective I never heard anyone say before.
Yes, that building of momentum, like in passing, like relay races where you like pass the baton, so it just keeps going and keeps going and gets like larger and larger.
I think the key is starting them at a young age, you know, young. You know, because I know at this point I'm not around my grandsons all the time, so what you tell them now at the age of 19 and 21, they don't listen now. You know, they're not around me every day at all. So it's harder when I'm with them, you know, to get them to understand, you know. So I think the importance there is young, start them young so they can grow as you know, their beliefs can grow as they grow.
Yeah. Well, and, like, to that point, like, you still continue to speak into their life, though, right? So, like, having that confidence to speak, even if you think they're not listening or you're not sure if they are, like, all of the world changers that we know of today, like, they weren't shy or afraid to express, like, their viewpoint. Like, they just went for it. And so, like, we can do the same thing. As Jeremiah, the prophet, he knew they weren't listening, but he couldn't, like, keep quiet. Like, he still had to say the prophetic words and the word of God and, like, the fire that was, like, shut up in his bones. Like, he tried, like, not talking about it because he knew none of them were listening. He's like, why am I talking? And he tried not talking, and that didn't work out for him. Like, he had to speak out. So I think about that with, like, being a world changer. They, like, communicated, you know? They were good at communicating their beliefs. And it didn't matter whether people agreed with them or disagreed with them. Like, they were brave and they went for it. And, like, that's all of the things we read about in history.
Yeah.
good thing with that is you can use for your scriptural connection that this, I'm agreeing with this word, anytime God raised anybody from the dead. So the raising of Lazarus, the raising of the young girl, the raising of the mother's only son, Jesus himself being raised from the dead. So that time didn't matter when it encountered the words that God speaks. So when we speak them, just like Jeremiah, it's going to make an effect.
Yeah.
So we can't let time, like, well, so much time has passed. We can't let time dictate. The word of God is more powerful than time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this scripture, like in Joel, I believe, where it says that the Lord will restore the years the locusts have eaten.
Mm-hmm.
So you can use that scripture as well. Then you're basing your faith in the word of God when you're proclaiming based on this scripture of God restoring years. I'm declaring that years are restored to my children, my grandchildren, my life. You know, based on Lazarus was dead for 4 days and his whole body was restored. I'm speaking that about my body, that I have a whole restoration. Things like that. That's how you use the word of God in your mouth to overcome any obstacle.
Mm-hmm. I remember learning with the story of Lazarus that, like, after the 4 days, like, the Jewish people believed that after 3 days, like, your spirit was, like, you know, gone from your body. Like, it was impossible because they had seen, some of them had seen, you know, them be raised from the dead before, but, you know, maybe they had, like, just died, like, when Jesus raised a little girl, right? He was on her way to heal her, and then she died, so he got there within the day, right, within 24 hours, and she was raised up. But, like, with Lazarus, they believed that he was, like, too far gone, like, that his spirit was already, like, passed, and there was no bringing him back. So when he came back to life on that fourth day, like, Jesus completely changed their entire belief system, right, that no person was ever, like, too far gone. Which I think that that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And, like, one of the things, I don't know what page it's on, because with my Kindle, but it's talking about after Hebrews 11:6 with faith, couple paragraphs down, it says, a deeper conversation with God leads you to improving, like, problem-solving skills. So, like, one of the reasons we pray and read God's word and, like, spend time developing that relationship is because then you can have those deep conversations with God and get, like, straight into, like, problem solving and wisdom, because you've developed, like, taking the time to develop hearing God's voice, knowing his word, like, his character, just kind of like how Pastor Doug was talking about today with, like, knowing someone's character. Like, that's a very important piece to, like, knowing somebody.
And to tie into that, in Colossians 1, I was reading that he is so, the way the Passion has it, that he is so pleased with our lives. Like, if we could get a revelation of that. And then, like, the next verse was that he gives us a reservoir of wisdom and spiritual understanding.
Wow.
So, just ties in with the problem-solving skills and whatnot we would have.
Yeah.
On page 81, it was right after when you had talked to Abby about where would you like your generational line to continue? Let your faith become part of your legacy, right? When Dr. Fiona writes about how we use phrases like the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Boy, when I made that personal, like, just started asking myself, who's the God of the Schmitz? Like, what are we known for, right? And even when you say about the grandkids, like, who, I don't know what they call you, grandma or whatever, like, who's grandma's God? Like, they remember who your God is when you're walking it out, living it, and believing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's good.
So on 83, there's some important questions. When you question your ability or capability to do something that God has asked you to do, you should consider why. Is it because you are unskilled in the task? Or is it because you lack experience, even though you have the skill? Or do you think that as a person you're not good enough to be asked to do something by God? You need to capture the exact reason why, so that you're not stuck feeling guilty for denying the request of God for your life. Guilty feelings towards God must be confronted and overcome. Why? Because these feelings transfer to those in your family who consider your voice important in their life. So let's talk about this. We're not going to glaze over this. We're here to take out giants.
That's right.
And overcome obstacles. So what have you discovered in your life? Is it more a skill question? Is it more an experience question? Or is it that you don't feel that you're worthy for God to ask you to do something? Or is there another reason you've encountered?
I used to do, like, because of the skill, like, that I think to myself, I don't know how to do that. Like, I have no idea. Like, I am not the person for that. But I don't know, I've, like, come to the fact that I'm like, I might not know how, but I'm like, God, you're going to help me do this. You're going to show me how to do this, and I'm gonna be successful at it.
Yes.
I might get it wrong at first, but we're going to work it out. So now when, like, things come up, like, especially, I'll be honest, the computer, not my thing a lot of the times. But, like, when I see something, I'm like, all right, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to get through it. It's going to work. And I don't do the, anymore. I'm just like, I put my mindset into, somebody asked me to do it, then there's a reason that I'm supposed to do it. If I was asked, there's a reason I'm supposed to do it. And I'm going to figure it out. Instead of like, oh no, you got the wrong girl. Sorry, not me. Not your person. You know, I've started to change that mindset. Like, no, I'm going to figure out how to do this. It's going to work.
Good.
Yeah.
That's a good example. Anyone else?
I would say for me, it was the last one with like the value. Just not like thinking that I was good enough to be asked to do something. I knew that I could and that, like, I wanted to, and, you know, like, I wasn't unskilled or anything. Like, I wanted to help, but just feeling, like, valuing that I was, like, you know, that good enough kind of thing. But with the high value woman group and, like, just increasing, like, my knowledge of the Word of God and, like, love walk and knowing, like, how valued I am has, like, erased that. So there's times that thought still, like, comes into my mind, but then, like, I consciously, like, reject that thought, you know, and, like, make a point to quote the Word of God in scriptures. And that's something that's been, like, brought to my attention recently, to, like, make sure that, like, it's not coming back, and to also, like, just be so filled up with love and the Word of God that it automatically, like, pushes those thoughts out too, so they don't even try coming back.
Yeah. Who else?
Mine was kind of, in part, was due to a permission-based system, but again, it was because, you know, hearing the word wrong and being told, well, this is your place, so you need to stay in here, which was frustrating, right? So when you're asked to do something, it's like, well, inside of me, I'm like, well, do I have permission to do that? Can I do that? In God's eyes, right? Would God allow, would he be upset if I did this, right? Well, that got clarified, and I'm just going to put a little plug in Dr. Fiona's new book. It's on permission, what I have permission to do. It's fantastic. Recommend it to anyone. but yeah, I realized that was, and then it was a fear attached to that, was a fear. Well, if I didn't do it, was I in trouble? Was, you know what I mean? Or if I did do it, I'd be afraid of getting in trouble. Do you know what I mean? So that's all taken care of.
That's a good point about fear, like how it just easily sneaks in. Like, we think, like, what if, a lot of times there's a lot of, like, fear and anxiety, like, hooked into that. And it can come across as, like, oh, I'm being cautious. Like, I'm just, like, thinking this through. Like, what if this happens? What if that happens? And there is, you know, it's good to think of, like, details sometimes and, like, if there's consequences to your actions. But, like, being aware that, you know, it's not, like, fear and doubt and unbelief trying to, like, sneak in when you're doing something or doing an instruction, like you're talking about, like the permission.
Right.
I'm excited to read Dr. Fiona's book about that. Anybody else have anything to share? Okay, so thank you everybody who's listening to our podcast. We hope that you have learned a lot, especially from all the ladies who have spoken, and we bless you in Jesus' name, amen.